Let me read this. So high D individuals would probably have an intense, no-nonsense look. At times you do. UDs, you do. Okay? He or she's forceful and direct. The high I individual would probably be a bit more casual, with an outgoing look on their face, indicating the tendency toward openness and friendliness. The high S would likely look a bit more conservative and cautious. She's intent on being supportive. The high C individual is intense, like the high D in that respect, but he or she is also more analytical. Okay, really, it nails it. Just nails it. So it goes on. I just want to read leadership or management style. The leader with a high D personality tends to take on autocratic approach with other people. Now, the love of Christ needs to be in us, y'all, every personality. But Ds will get criticized more because they can overpower people. But Ds receive it from me because I hire a lot of Ds. I love them. Don't get offended, you Ds. But this is the way you guys come across at times, and you have to be aware of that. Okay? You have to be. Some of you are so high Ds that I know that this is a challenge for you. Okay? So then it goes on and said, in an organization with a high D person at the top, there's an emphasis on defining responsibilities, implementing action, and managing trouble. And a hierarchy of leadership is usually installed so that there is a direct line of authority. That's usually what you're going to have. Is that wrong? No. It's got to be loving, though. Okay, the high I leader, on the other hand, takes a more democratic approach to leadership. He will usually facilitate open communication and initiative by others in the organization. In spite of the increased freedom and delegation of responsibility, the influencing leader usually prefers to have the authority to make the final decision after representative views are expressed. A high S person is a leader, leadership role, in a leadership role tends to take a participatory approach to a job. Most of the daily decisions are delegated to others, while the high S leader offers support by listening to others, allowing everyone in the organization to follow through on individual assignments. So there's the high S, I'm telling you, I'm a high S. I have to be careful that I don't let all the relationship things blur the decisions that need to be made on a task. Does that make sense, y'all? Okay, where Ds don't have that problem. They don't have the problem. They can just laser beam focus and not get disrupted by all the other stuff going on. And that's a gift. That's a gift. Okay, then last, a high C personality usually leads with a more bureaucratic approach. Okay? He will emphasize establishing and following proper procedures for the successful completion of a task. As long as there is compliance to policies, people in the organization can have their own responsibilities and make their own decisions. The organizational system and not personality style tends to be in charge. So, I tell you, this book is amazing. I think they really have it. And that's enough now of that. We have gone over it. I don't want to beat it to death. But just know that's what we're working with. God made you in His image and with a bent. So let's move on. And I want to share a couple of winning teams. So here in Romans, this is amazing. I love Romans 12, don't you? That whole chapter, it's just a great chapter. And read this with me. Read this with me. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, and going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your eye or your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Isn't that interesting? I love this, Inside Out. Remember the movie? You know? But this is the Message version, and I think it's great. So here in 1 Corinthians 12 says, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge what? Puffs up, but love builds up. So the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know he as he ought to know, but the man or the woman who loves God is known by God. So the big thing here is knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. But can't they be together? Of course. All the knowledge, all the things that we learn about the ministry, we get things from CareNet, we get things from media, and you learn to discern what is actual, what's godly, okay? And we learn from reading books. We're learning from our churches, from our small groups. We're learning from each other, and knowledge is great, just as long as the love of Christ is in that. Because where some of your personalities, you got to be real careful, because knowledge puffs up, love builds up, and you can do both. You can gain knowledge and you can build up your people. Amen. I think it's a great leadership scripture that with God. See, the common denominator here is God. That's the common denominator. You know? And then here, building a winning team and a strong Christian foundation, absolutely. But it has to be here with godly standards and expectations, thorough orientation and training, and conflict resolution. So the business end of things, my goodness, you got to do it. And the people skills, that conflict resolution, look at this. What I have found is so many people deal with unrealistic or unmet expectations. Okay? So here's your expectation. So maybe with you, you're expecting your client services people not to get too emotional. You can't. You know, you can't get too emotional or too attached to these people. And here's your expectation. Reality is, those women really minister to the clients who come in. You know? That's probably not the best example, maybe a better example, because what happens is you have these unmet expectations or maybe unrealistic, and that causes anger. See, what causes anger? And here's what causes anger. Hurt, fear, frustration, injustice, and offense. Those are the things that cause anger. So when you get frustrated with your people, or you get frustrated with yourself, now you look at this. Are my expectations realistic? Are they not being met? Okay? And so you need to look at that. You really need to look at that. I spent so much time on... and say time, but I ministered to a lot of people in counseling that had anger issues. Tons and tons and tons and tons. And what causes anger? Hurt, fear, frustration, injustice, offense. And how do we deal with it? Well, we need to look at the scriptures, and do I have a reason to be upset? Well, there may be. You need to look at what Scripture, that's our guideline. And so here, what I did is I put this model together. Here's hurt, fear, frustration, injustice, offense. Those are your primary emotions. And I think you probably have all heard over the years, don't say I'm angry. You women are much better at it than a lot of us men, but we're learning. And that is, I'm feeling hurt. I'm frustrated. Okay? A lot of times what we do is we stuff it and then we blow. We stuff it and then we rage. And when we say give it to the Lord, well, let's say we give it to God, but let's say it's not going away. That person's not changing. I'm not changing the way that I'm responding to the person. They just keep pushing my buttons or I'm pushing theirs. And so you've got to confront. You've got to confront. Well, for a lot of personality types, confrontation is scary. For others, it's okay. We can handle it. But once you learn what God's Word says, and again, Matthew 18:15, when your brother sins against you, go to your brother and tell him his fault. That's confrontation, but you're doing it in love. You're doing it in love. And so you're going there and you're talking to them and you're using I messages. You know, I really appreciate us working together. We've been together now 10 years. Right now, don't say but, right? Don't say but. But is what you sit on. Now, you say we've been together all these years and isn't it great how the ministry's going? Yeah. Right now, I am very frustrated. We've talked about this project. And it's not done. And in fact, we're way, way past what we talked about. And you know, there's been a lot of deadlines come and gone. I've been told that it's going to be done, and it's still not done. Now I know with God's help, we'll work it out. See, you positive point, positive, okay. But you got to be firm though too. You got to be firm. And so. The sandwich approach, positive point, positive. Then you're looking for resolution, either a compromise, you know. Well, okay, I need some help. Well, now you're telling me you need some help. What do you need done? Okay, and so, okay, do it. We'll do it. We'll compromise. We'll get it done. And you may find out when you confront that person, you were wrong. You totally misunderstood. You blew it. And that's when you say, I apologize. I didn't think of all those other issues. I didn't think of all that. So please forgive me. Okay? Now, other times you confront and you find out they were wrong. And they apologize. The tough part is when you confront, they were wrong but refuse to apologize. So what do? Well, the first thing you do is you rip their lips off. And then... And then you say, let's talk. They have no lips. Let's talk. Okay? But that's the tough one. That's the tough one. They were wrong but refused to apologize. So what do you do? Oh, let's bring it back to the work environment, not just outside. Work environment. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? Well, if you are the one in charge and they're working under your leadership, you may say, I'm gonna have to write you up. You know, disobedience of authority. I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. But we've had to do that on occasion. We've had to. You know, and then you have a heart-to-heart talk that maybe this is not the right place for you. These are our expectations, and apparently, you know, you don't feel comfortable. Am I right? You don't feel comfortable with those? And says, no, I don't. Well, then perhaps God has another assignment for you. Or, yes, I do feel comfortable, but I'm just having a problem. You know? Well, let's look at the problem because it's causing issues in the ministry. Try not to use the word you a lot, but on occasion you're going to have to use some of that you. You know? But you say, we need to address it. You know, many times we as believers, and I'm one of them, We wait too long to address these issues. Non-believers have better at it than we are. You know? We wait with too much grace. You know? So, but this is what you want to do, because if you don't deal with it, what will happen is a bitter root. You know, there's a saying that a bitter root produces bitter fruit. So the anger is going to turn into bitterness, and it may be you. You may be the one that's bitter. And what happens is resentment builds up, rejection, the spirit of rejection, and then rebellion. So when we think that we're going to let this go, out of grace, we're not doing the right thing. Paul wrote to a whole group of people in Corinthians, in Corinth, and said, you guys are wrong. You're sinning against God, is really what he was saying. This man in your church is sleeping with his, what was it, mother? Mother-in-law? Stepmother. And you're allowing it. You're not even addressing it. So you're as much sinning as they are, as he is. Now, Paul, he was bold, but he had seen enough. Well, we need to be addressing these things. And quite frankly, D's have more comfort level most of the time, not all the time, addressing something that really needs to be addressed. And it should not be all on the D's shoulders. Okay? That's good stewardship. Good stewardship. Yeah, you got your policy and procedure. That's right. You got your policies and procedures. You got your manual, you know, your personnel manual. Everyone has a copy of that manual that shows your holidays and this and that and carryover from conflict resolution. When I came, there was no conflict resolution issue. And I put in Matthew 18:15, and then the board told me that if we can't resolve at our level, then it goes to the personnel committee. So we have it set. Okay? So always go back to the scriptures. Always go back to the scriptures. And again, I want to reemphasize primary emotions. Anger and bitterness are secondary emotions. Your primary emotions are here. It started off with being hurt, disappointed, fear, frustration, injustice, offense. Offense is a huge one. One of the this author here who wrote Relentless, great book, John Bevere, he wrote a book a few years ago called The Bait of Satan, big seller. And we talked about that in our church years and years ago. And it was all about offense. When we get offended and we don't deal with it, keep giving it to the Lord, but we don't deal with it. This is kind of like a model here that we just need to understand. Okay? Run your ministry like a business. Run your ministry like a ministry. Run your ministry in a way that honors God and that we're good stewards of our people first and all the other things that fall along. Okay? Right? Okay? All right? All right? Let me cover a couple other things. Here in Joshua, it says, be strong and very... Read this with me. This is awesome. He didn't say just say be strong and courageous. He said be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There are times when we are discouraged in our ministries. There are times when we even get terrified. Some personalities... I don't like to let people down. I's don't. S's don't. D's and C's, they really don't. But it doesn't bother you as much. And so I have to be real careful. So do many of you. Most people fall within S's and I's. Okay? And so here it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. What a scripture! The fear of man will prove to be a snare. So you know what happens these days? I mean, forever, the history of time. We fear man more than God. And the whole essence of us as leaders is to move from fearing man to coming over here and loving, trusting, and fearing God in a healthy way. And you, when we're here on this side, we're much more effective as leaders. Much more effective. We can handle conflict because you know what? It's not conflict. It's getting back on track. It's getting things out in the open. That's what it's about. Fear of public speaking, number one fear. Still, to this day, fear of public speaking. Man, I can't believe I'm up here. But the Lord's got me up here, okay? And the thing is God has you all as leaders. Leaders within your ministry. So, expecting a winning team, and that's a big thing right there. The pursuit of excellence, not what? Not perfection. Leaders, and now we're going to use different words. Leaders, we're servants. We're servant leaders, right? Jesus taught us to be servant leaders. Servant leaders have vision. Leaders, servant leaders are proactive, risk takers, and have great faith. Leaders, servant leaders, are faith-led versus fear-driven. Huge, huge. So as we get close to the end, I've got a handout for us there. And winning teams are composed of what? All four temperaments. Thank you. God created winners, not whiners, nor failures. Okay? God created winners, not whiners, nor failures. And look at this. Read this with me. Be a people person, not a people pleaser. Someone mentioned that earlier about being a people pleaser. You know what? We'll tend to be more people pleasers. But as we get stronger and stronger in the Word of God and more comfortable with ourselves and where we are with the Lord, we're not pleasing people anymore. We're being kind, considerate, respectful. But if they're saying, you know, God is whatever, you have the boldness to stand up and say, well, you're way off. The Word of God says this. The Word of God says that. You don't say, my opinion. It says, Word of God says this. You know, let the Word do the talking for you. Okay? And when you look at Proverbs 3, you know, a lot of people say it's impossible to please God and man. Proverbs 3 says, by being faithful, and so many words say by being faithful, keeping your word, doing follow through, being a good manager of your personal life and your business, you'll please both man and God. That's really what it's saying. So there's a way we can please both men and God. They may not vote the way we vote, but they can sure respect you for who you are and the things that you stand for. And you do it respectfully without attacking their character. Amen? That's what it's about, and that's in every one of our personality styles. So here, now we're talking about leaders, servants, winners. Know how to surrender to Christ. We are all three of those. We're leaders, we're servants, and we're winners. We're not afraid to make a mistake. And as leaders, servants, and winners, we admit when we are wrong. That is a woman of God. That is a man of God. That's right there, right there. That's servant leadership and honoring God, and we honor man by doing it too. You know, when people come into your life and they see how respectful you are and yet how bold you are for God, and again, just throw it in their face. But they just see your confidence. Again, that holy boldness. Things change. They change. And it also changes with you. God just, you can't outgive God. So the more you brag on Him, the more He's going to brag on you and just build you up. So here, Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you. You know that scripture. Matthew 7, Luke 18:14, and here it is. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the scripture that I was trying to think of earlier, and I love it. So that's the thing. So we're not there to exalt ourselves. We don't have to. You don't have to brag on yourself. You brag on God. Scripture says that too, doesn't it? You're going to brag upon the Lord. You know, I don't go to a donor or a church and brag on me and what I do. What I share with them is that the ministry's been around since 1985, and we've had, you know, we've ministered to so many people. We've had X number of salvations and X number of babies saved, and we've got these outreaches. And thank you so much for your church partnering with us, or if they've never partnered with us before, it says, I'd really love to give you a tour and for you to find out, you know, more about what we do, since we've been here over 30 years, you know. And I always look, it's the same denomination of others that are already supporting us. And I say, you know, Heritage United Methodist has been on a partner for years now, you know, or so-and-so has been a partner for years. See, as in development, you're going to do whatever, but don't brag on me. I'm bragging on the Lord. And beside that, I want to get to know that pastor. I want to get to know them. I share with them Holocaust survivors. God has me in the ministry. So whatever your tagline is, of the way you build those relationships that works for you, that's what you do. But don't brag on yourself. Don't. Talk about it. Brag on the ministry. You know? Okay. So if you walk around, this is what I love here. This is the message. Jesus commented, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. I love it. So all of you, clothe yourself with humility, 1 Peter 5, toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what some of you all brought up earlier. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time and cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So, as we finish up here, there's this thing that I put together a long time ago, and it really spells out for us the whole issue of fear. I believe what holds us back from being even more effective leaders is the fear factor. It's the fear factor. So when you look at this, you'll see, okay, you'll see that this is not going in every which way it's supposed to, but let me get this in here. Okay, so fear-driven, like a lot of people, are fear-driven versus faith-led. And fear-driven are those who really, you look at the law, okay, the law versus grace. Fear-driven. Word, the world, the focus on the world versus the Word, faith-led. Fear-driven people, darkness. They're in darkness. And faith-led people, being in the Word, spending time with the Lord, you're in light. And fear-driven people, they're in the flesh versus the Spirit. And so, with fear-driven, people focuses on the world, people-pleasing, job, success, possessions, whatever it may be. And here, with faith-led, we've talked about it all afternoon. The focus is on the Lord and His Word, giving us peace. Perfect love casts out all fear. And God's unconditional love, God's forgiveness. We are complete in Christ. And listen to this one. We don't need others' approval or acceptance to feel good about ourselves. We really don't. You'd like to have it. You'd like to have it. But if you know that your decisions are based on the Word of God, your life is really, you're doing your best to line up with God's Word and live that godly lifestyle, just know you're not going to please everybody. And that means people in your church too. No? But main thing is we're pleasing the Lord. We try to be kind and respectful to others. But let's face it, some personalities do confront, what's the word I'm trying to think? Clash. Thank you. So they do clash, and they're believers like you. And you know what? You learn, keep a boundary. It's probably not going to get any better. So, spend your time doing God's work, God's will. Okay. And then The other thing here is with fear-driven people, they operate out of fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of punishment, fear of being alone. The guilt-based living, shame-based living, performance-based living. That's and there's so many church people that are here. Right there. Right there. Right there. One of I was trained, again, through Rotha, and the gentleman who started it wrote a book called Search for Significance. One of the best books, top five books I've ever read. And it just shows you that our significance, remember I told you, being Jewish, our significance is kind of based on performance and who we grow up to be, go to college, do all that. Our significance is based on our relationship with the Lord. And that's what we need to remember, even when we're in a business arena or we're in a ministry that also has to operate like a business. And that sometimes your results aren't what you're wanting. And you're not always pleasing this person or the board or whatever. Our significance is still total and complete in Christ. And He loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. So then over here, if you would, kind of read this with me. So faith-led people, in order to stay connected to God and keep those healthy boundaries, number one is what? Prayer. Fasting. Praise the Lord daily. Read the Word daily. Attend church weekly. Attend Bible study. Attend fellowship groups. Spend time with positive, healthy believers. Read Christian self-help books. Monitor what you watch, read, and listen to. Fellowship with God, not your problems. That's a big one. Healthy self-talk or scripture memorization. Trust God more than yourself. Exercise and rest. Eat healthy. Enjoy life. Have some fun. And what that translates into is with fear-driven people, they end up having mood swings, feeling conditional love. And with faith-led people, results in more peace, love and trust, less anxiety, fewer mood swings, feeling unconditional love. Okay, does that make sense then? So we're the leaders. We're leaders. What we want to be is on the right-hand side, faith-led, and applying these things that we've talked about. And as we finish up, Martin, you know what we want to do is we're going to finish up with one video. And can we see if it's on that MP4? So here, biblically-based temperament leadership. And you can read this with me. And it says, leaders love Jesus. Leaders have great vision. Leaders seek God's wisdom. Leaders live a godly lifestyle. Leaders submit to authority. Leaders read the Word, attend church, pray daily, fast regularly. Leaders trust God more than themselves. And leaders understand and apply the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, as we put all that together, that's what we have. Is there one there on? Oh, you can pull it up. Okay, there's one on the butt. If you would, you have these forms here. And if you would, why don't you complete that. And we're just going to, I got one short video to show you. So please don't leave, if you don't mind. Okay, it's a fun one. And if we can pull it up, right? Yeah. By faith, yes. But if you would fill that out and you'll hand it to Martin. Just take that. Any other closing questions? Mm-hmm. It's called big butt.
Big butt.
Is it on there? Is it on there? Okay. All right. I've got a few extras. And I can give you, one. Sure. Yeah. 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 Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Afterwards, you can come on up. But fill out that form, if you would. And then we're going to watch this last piece. People make excuses. Well, after today, y'all, no more excuses. Right? No more excuses. Strengths, weaknesses, and every one of the temperaments. God has filled you and overflowing with the giftings that come from the heavenlies. And so, and you got a great team, And if the team needs to be pruned, okay, there's nothing wrong with pruning. Okay, Joyce Meyer says, pruned if you do, pruned if you don't. So, you know, just, you know, God's going to prune you. And if you're a leader, there may be times you're going to have to prune some of your staff. You do all that in a loving, loving manner, and you're growing a ministry to the glory of God. That's really what it's about. So can we put that on? If someone could get those lights, okay? So no more excuses. No more. Wait a minute.
Possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me just tell you something, okay?
Yeah,
everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is all.
But my kids have practice, but I got to tweak something.
Okay.
It always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asks me to do, I seem to have a butt for it. And get away. Okay, and the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. True. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden the big giant butt gets in the way. A butt, much like one of these. But I got a farm bill, but I'm tired from the game, but I read last Thursday, but I got to check Facebook, but I don't like politics, but it's too hot for you, but I just don't like books, but I don't understand it, but it's boring. But what's that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Let's just call them what they are. Ugly. Ugly butts. Okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the smoke was the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself when I'm not happy? That's not my gift. That's a pastor job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere, a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time. But I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it, and we share it, and we teach it, and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay? It's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay? Let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it. We start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or... Yeah. I think you get it.
Yeah. Isn't that great? You can get that. You can download that. What is it called? Big butt? Big butt. All right. Let me close this in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for the commitment that everyone made to be here today. And Father, each one of us, that includes me, we've heard what you've had to say. Help us to go out and do it. And let us enjoy this wonderful conference. Making new friends, learning even more, growing even more, but more importantly, Lord, growing closer to you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all.
Let me just say something, please. Thank you, Saul.
Oh, you're welcome.
Excellent.
Thank you.